Okay, so as the guys in my share know, there are, amazingly, people outside of Yeshiva who actually listen to the shiurim that happen here. That is quite amazing. And one person who's been listening to the shiurim we've had on Lo Tzachanim pointed out that, and he's right, that at some point I need to address some of the hashkafic issues that emerge, but I'm going to do that in the way that I think in morning seder is best, which is through halacha, through lamdas. Obviously, you know, I am capable of giving just a machshava shir if I feel like it. I have no interest in doing that during morning seder. Maybe a different time. I am capable of this, just in case you're wondering. I am capable of talking straight philosophy. I just don't usually do it here. Okay. But I want to do it through a sugya that emerges within the Lo Tzachanim sugya, which is the sugya of Darkei Shalom. Right? Tosus on Daf Chaf asks if it is true. I can see that, Gersley. That if the halacha is that you're not allowed to give free gifts, right? Matnos chinam to non-Jews. So how is it that the halacha is, as is outlined in the Mishnah and the Gemara and Gittin, that one gives tzedaka to non-Jews, right? Isn't tzedaka a gift, right? Isn't that what it is? And Tosos answers, you guys did the sugya, even the guy's not my share. Tosus says it's not fine. Guys in my shir, Tosus says it's not chinam because
you get a benefit of the nahidness.
No, that's not what he says. He says it's not chinam because it's darkei shalom. Eli is now making an assumption of what darkei shalom means, but that's what I want to explore. What darkei shalom means, because one of the central questions that we really have to ask in Masechet Avodah Zarah is okay, and we've talked about this a bit at different points. We have many, many Gemara that limit what we can give non-Jews, what we can take from non-Jews, what we can say to non-Jews, how we can treat non-Jews, how we can get treated by non-Jews, right? How we do business with them, what we eat from them, what we eat with them, when we eat with them, right? Need I go on, right? You really ask yourself by the end is, okay, like, what is the Torah's vision of our relationship with the non-Jews world? And one of the classic sugyas on this is the sugya of Darkei Shalom, which some people understand the way Eli does, but I want to see whether that is correct, right? Don't worry, there are people who agree with Eli. There are also people who disagree with Eli.
I'm picking a side. I was just guessing what
Joe was supposed to say. Okay, fine. So, it starts with, let's just get the basic facts on the ground. So the Mishnah, number one, it's a Mishnah in the fifth parak of Gittin, just for you, Dani. Ve'elu dvarim amrum ibnei darkei shalom. These are the things that Chazal told us that we do because of darkei shalom. Now, again, I'm going to bracket this for a moment, what that means, but okay. Kohen korei rishon, v'acharav Levi, v'acharav Yisrael mibnei darkei shalom. We have the Kohen get the first aliyah, if there's a Kohen here, if our Kohen makes it to davening, whatever the case may be, right? If he makes it to davening, then he gets the first aliyah, and then us Levim, whichever of us show up, can get the second aliyah, and then the Israelim get the third aliyah. Of course, if there's no Kohen, so then, according to the Ramah, one is not obligated to give a Levi the aliyah following those Rishonim. According to other Rishonim, one day in Rashi, you are not allowed to give the Levi the aliyah, which, despite the fact that the standard psak is that you are allowed to, I have been informed that here we follow the very Lumdish Brisker position. Fine.
Isn't that just we not allow all LPs?
What?
That seems like trying to fulfill all opinions.
It's still terrible.
Okay, I don't know. I don't make a big deal of saying, like, let's follow a very Lumdish Brisker position against the Ramah. I don't feel that compulsion. What? That there's no such thing as Kedushas Levi. There's only Kedushas Levi as part of the Marechet of Kedushas Kohuna.
It's terrible.
It's not like a... I mean, it's fine. In a Lumdish here, it's very nice. It just... Halach
L'maisa.
What?
Why not?
Would you like me to throw all the different positions you don't hold like at you and see if you feel like being Yotze Kol Hadeos? Try me. Like, honestly. This is like...
Oh, well, it depends. If you agree with the side not going against the other deos, then it's really not a big deal. Like, if they agree the brisk is not going against the other dudes, then it's really no big deal.
Yeah, but we don't pask in that way, so why would we make akpad on this? Especially since, according to many Rishonim, if there's no Levi, if there's no Kohen, so we return to the Ikar Halacha, which is that the Aliyah goes to, the first Aliyah goes to the no, no, but there are other Shittas in Rishonim that you're not being Yotze, right?
Okay, it can't be Yotze all of them.
Correct.
The ones that most people pask in, like.
Most people.
Going against one they want.
No, because the other Shittas in Rishonim, there are multiple Shittas in Rishonim. One of the Shittas in Rishonim is that if there's no Kohen, then the first Aliyah goes to...
Levi.
No, so that's some Shittas. Talmud Chacham.
I know,
right?
You can't do both. And they like this one more, and most people...
Fuck, what?
Okay. Wrong, so
what do you mean? You can give it to me, I'm a Levi, and I'm your Rebbe. That would be Yotze other Shittas in Rishonim, but you're Dafka not giving to me. You're actively... Oh, so you're not being Yotze Kol HaDeos, it's let's follow briskers, right?
I didn't say you're being Yotze Kol HaDeos, you're being Yotze the briskers and the one most of the Paschim like.
Okay, good. So be a good brisker and be like me and don't carry any Eruv and don't ever have Kiddush unless you're going to wash. Oh, okay. That's my point. What is this? We're Yotze Kol HaDeos. No, not Rishkeit. Okay.
They went to the Gemara and they're like, this sheet tomorrow.
No.
Maybe we should give it to you.
What? No, no, don't give it to me. It's not the point. The point is that when I discussed it with Rav Chaid, he asked me why I'd been letting Levim get the Aliyah. I said, because that's how we paskin. And he said, yes, but there's great lamdos on the other side. I said, okay, but that's not how we paskin. I was like, I'm not going to fight it if that's yeshiva policy, but no one told me our policy was not to follow the Ramah. Like, no one told me such things.
Rabbi Chaid isn't good at the Ramah.
No, he said the Rav had good lamdus in that Shita and the Rishonim.
So he agrees with the Rav, who agrees with the briskers.
Okay, fine! So fine! I'm just saying. My point is just...
It's not
the point. The point is... Anyways, it's really not the point. Anyways, Ma'arvin v'vais Yashan v'darkei Shalom. We put the Erev in an old house, meaning the house that we've always put it in, so that we don't get into a fight. Bor shukarov la'ama mitmale rishon nivnei darkei shalom, the water pit that is closer to the spring, whatever, the water channel, so it gets filled up first. Mitzudos chayav ofos v'dagim yeshvim gezel mnei darkei shalom. Fish traps and animal traps have gezel, even though it shouldn't have gezel, mnei darkei shalom, right? If you trap an animal, right, technically you don't own it yet. You haven't done a Maisa Kinyan, but we don't let you take somebody else's animals they've already trapped. Mimnei Darkei Shalom, even though it's not really, really gezel, it's not really, really theft, but Mimnei Darkei Shalom. Rabbi Yossi Omer Gezel Gomor. Rabbi Yossi disagrees and says, no, this is actual theft. Mitzias Cheresh Chod Devekatan Yesh Mishum Gezel Mishum Darkei Shalom. If someone who doesn't have the legal ability to be Kone things...
in terms of animals...
A chereshotim katan, a minor, a deaf mute, or someone who is who lacks legal competence. It's probably the best translation, right? Who lacks what? No. A shote?
Of course they can.
Yeah. What?
They can not marry a woman. Doesn't own anything.
God. If they find a lost object, even though they are not capable of formally having an act of acquisition, and therefore they don't really own it, you aren't allowed to take it for them. Neidak Yishalom. Rabbi Yossi Amar Gezel Gamor. Again, Rabbi Yossi thinks that is real. Gezel. Ani Menakef Berosh Azayis. Mashatachtav Gezel Neidak Yishalom. If an Ani is going up and picking olives and things fall on the ground, so again, he hasn't really been Konet. But you shouldn't take it. You shouldn't take what falls. Neidak Yishalom. Rabbi Yossi Amar Gezel Gamor. And then the last one is Ein Mamachen Biyat Ani Egoyim Belechet Shechol Peh Menei Darkei Shalom. And you don't prevent a poor, non-poor, non-Jewish poor people from collecting Lechet Shechon Peah. What are Lechet Shechon Peah? Correct. Right. They are various different matnos aniyim that we leave in our field. Right. The corner of the field. Right. The leftovers as we're cutting that we forget. Whatever. We allow them to collect. We don't stop them from collecting when they come. And the Gemara then expands this. And number two, which is Tan Rabbanon, this is the Gemara in Samach Aleph, Mefarnesim Ani Yaakum Im Ani Yisrael. We support, I mean, we give tzedakah to the poor non-Jews with the poor of the Jews, Umevakrin Chalei Nachrim Umchalei Yisrael, and we visit the sick of non-Jews with the sick of Jews, the Kovrin Mesei Nachrim and Mesei Yisrael, and we bury the sick of non-Jews with the sick of Jews, Umrei Darkei Shalom. because of Darkei Shalom. So what I want to try to do is understand what is this thing we call Darkei Shalom, right? What is it? Because right, the things that are outlined Mivnei Darkei Shalom towards non-Jews, if we thought about them in not in halachic language, we would think of them as, I don't know, basic humanitarian nice things to do, right? You visit their sick, you give them staka, you bury their dead, right? All the, you know, nice things that we want to do for all human beings, right? But we qualify it by saying we do it because of Darkei Shalom. And the fundamental question that we have to deal with is, okay, well, what does that mean? Right? And, well, this is what I want to figure out. And there is this halachic, right? Now, there are halachic nafkaminas to this question of how we understand the phrase Darkei Shalom. They're also ashkafic, because obviously, right, if we want to figure out what is the type of relationship Torah wants us to have with non-Jews, right, if we think Darkei Shalom represents a value, so then, you know, that will provide a more positive spin on the type of relationship that Torah wants us to have with non-Jews.
What do you mean a value?
Hold it for a second. We'll see what that means. So you tell me, what does Darkei Shalom mean? What are the options in front of us?
Well,
let's outline it. First, let's outline the most basic before we get into the nitty gritty. Like, what types of way could you understand Darkei Shalom?
Could be, we want good tidings between the Jews and non-Jews.
Okay.
It's basically, you know,
what I'm thinking. Okay. So give me categories. Right?
It's
what type?
Eva.
Oh, good. Right. I mean, one is to say that Darkei Shalom is basically the same as Mipnei Eva, right? Meaning, we have no particular interest in helping them.
Right.
We have an interest in not helping them. Right. Right.
So they don't hurt us.
What?
So they don't hurt
yeah.
Us.
Meaning, we don't want to. Right. Like, if it was up to us, we wouldn't help them. LMI. We can't not help them. So we can't. So therefore, we don't not help them. Right. Right, which, to be fair, is almost what you would get out of Ein Mamachin. Right, we don't stop them from taking. Right, because you can imagine what that would look like. Right, I leave the corner of my field unattended for the poor people to take on their own time, and then I stand there with my shotgun. Right, and if a non-Jewish poor person comes near it, I threaten to shoot. Right, you can understand why that wouldn't be such a a good thing to do. But we now right. So what? As we'll see, one group of poskim are going to say something along those lines that Darkei Shalom is basically synonymous, though not entirely, and we still have to figure out the difference because it's not totally synonymous with Bnei Eva, right? Because if it was synonymous with Bnei Eva, we would just say Mipnei Eva, right? We don't say Mipnei Eva, right? We shum Eva, whatever. We say Mipnei Darkei Shalom.
So Darkei Shalom regards to Jews also. So it could be the same.
Correct. It's also not quite the same. But we could go in the direction of saying, look, Darkei Shalom means avoiding a negative. Right? Avoiding a negative. Now, if you think that's the truth, that's the case, then what would you expect about Darkei Shalom, right? How expansive of a heter do you, or I should
not
take that back. How expansive do you think it would be?
Not
expansive. And you might treat it like, and I swallowed that word, but I shouldn't have, right? Which was a heter. Right? You might look at it as a heter.
Yeah.
Right? Meaning the implication, right? If you think about how it comes up in Derech Agav in our sugya, which is, how are you allowed to give a goy tzedaka? Isn't it matnas chinam? And the answer is, it's not for no reason, because it prevents animosity. And therefore, it's not for no reason, so it's mutter. Right, it's a matir.
Right.
Right, it's a matir of. Now, that doesn't Achille isn't what it means always. Or it's not just a matir, right? Because it's clear in the context of the Mishnah that it, you know, right. What would be the problem with giving a kohen the first aliyah in general? I mean, what I guess maybe it's you say it's a matir to not give the Talmud Chacham,
yeah.
Right? It's a matir not give the Talmud Chacham the first aliyah, right? Or something like that.
Yeah,
right. It's gonna be hard, right? Like, what is the? Well, you need a matir, right? Or a matir to not put the eruv in the house that it was always in. Like, it doesn't really work in everything. Which also, and you'll see, this is going to be part of my argument against Rasha Weiss. Is Rasha Weiss assumes that whatever is true for one Darkei Shalom has to be true for all of them. That it can't possibly capture multiple valences. I don't think that's true because, you know, you look at the Mishnah and you understand that there are different things going on here, right? It means slight. It seems to mean slightly different things in the Mishnah.
Could it also be a chiyuv non-matir? I mean, could Neva also be a chiyuv?
Correct. So you could look at Ibn Eva as a chiyuv, but it would still be a chiyuv in limited circumstances, right?
Yeah, I mean, like, were you supposed to help them?
Correct, right? Correct. For sure. Right, I mean, it could be it's a chiyuv because it'll prevent the danger that would come from Eva or something like that, but it would still be limited, right? Meaning, if I could avoid being in the situation at all, I would avoid it. On the other extreme, you could understand Darkei Shalom not as a, right, as equivalent in some way to Mipnei Eva, but as
positive, nice,
as a positive, right? And the question is, what would that positive be? Now, there are going to be certain nafkaminas to this, right? Like, should I avoid it, right? Or, one thing which the Rajba notes, what?
The excuse to get out of it.
Correct. So, as we'll see in the Rajba, that one of the central points that may emerge is, how literal do you take the Gemara when it says, Im Ani Yisrael? Right? That you give staka to non-Jews with the non-Jews. What does that mean? Like, literally, when they're there, right? Which may be true and could be justified if you thought it was Eva, right? Because, again, going back to our Peah case, right? You could understand that, look, if you're currently allowing all the poor people to collect money, so you don't want to stand there with the shotgun and say, okay, anyone who's not Jewish, right, leave. But you could just say, look, I know that all the Jews come at 7 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock at night, and, you know, so at 10 o'clock at night, I'm just going to lock my gate. Right, when someone shows up, they're not going to, like, hate me because I'm not giving them. You know, I'm just locking. They just miss the time or whatever. Oh, okay, it happens to be that I know that the Jews come on the way back from shul, right? So, Mimela, the Jews are going to get it at 7, 8. But, like, the non-Jew is not going to be, like, offended that he can't come in at 10 because, you know, I locked the door to my gate just like I locked the door to my house, right? Like, should I try to avoid it? Or it's, right, is it only that, like, when he comes with the Jews, so it would be really quite disgraceful if I pushed him aside, but, like, I don't have to go out of my way, right? We're going to see that. That seems to be, that's a machlokes we've shown him. Okay. So, let's go through a few. So let's first develop a little bit the possibility that it's just a matir. Now, as Zev noted before in Seder, right, the simplest read of Shulchan Aruch is that Shulchan Aruch takes the limited matir mipnei eva-esque approach because he frames it as mutal afarnes ani ehem ulavaker cholem lekvor meisem as bidul nachem avin l'shem darkei shalom. It is permitted to do such things because of darkei shalom, and the question is why would it not be permitted? Right, so as we said, staka probably cause manas chinam, which is what I just gave you if you didn't remember that in number 4, right? There is another possibility, and this is a very radical possibility, which is Rashi. Right? Rashi has this, I'll be honest that I find it disturbing, but I don't know if you actually caught what Rashi says, right? Rashi, commenting, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Vav says that there's a rule, which is, what's the rule in Sanhedrin?
You should return objects to it.
You cannot.
No,
you cannot. Right? Amar chzir aveda l'nachri. If you return a lost object to a nachri, though the original was probably akum, right? Alova kazim omri l'mantzvosar avas atzmeo lo yove Hashem slo achlo. Right? That God will not forgive you. Now, presumably, in the original, I'm going to wager that the original manuscript that I really should look was probably Akum. Most of these are Akum, right, in the original. Right, one could come up with all types of arguments that maybe...
That takes a while to find it, because our view is at Kusi.
Okay, good. So I'm correct in the fact that there was probably... There was at some point a different Gerus, I'm assuming. I don't know. I really do have to look. But Rashi says why, right? Rashi says, why is it that the Gemara seems not to want you to return a lost object to a non-Jew?
Probably stolen from a Jew anyways.
Did you read Rashi? Shoot. I gave you Rashi.
Yeah, I didn't understand what he meant.
So it's actually quite radical. What? He said, why is it a problem? It's a theological problem. Hishveh v'chiber nachrei l'Israel. You equated a Jew and a non-Jew. Umareh be'atzmo. This is like, Ellie, you should love this, Rashi. He showed that why does he return lost objects? Because he's a good person, because he's nice. That's terrible! We hate nice people, right? He shows that he's not doing it only because it's a mitzvah.
That's a nice Rashi.
How do I know? You're only doing it because you're nice, because you do it to non-Jews too. Right? There's no obligation. Right? Rashi has this very radical thesis. What?
It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. That's not great.
God commanded you to give to Jews, and you went ahead and took God commanded you to give to Jews.
No, no, so let's tease out what Rashi seems to be saying. Right? Rashi seems to be saying that the only, right, that you're supposed to do everything, right? By the way, I just want to point out, who disagrees with the theology that Rambam seems to be putting there?
Rambam?
Yeah, the Rambam, thanks.
What?
Right?
Because
Rashi, not about...
I said Rambam instead of Rashi. I said Rambam was a question because you said the wrong word, and then you seem to have got the right answer.
Right? Oh, okay. Right, because Rashi, right, Rashi, this doesn't seem to be just about Jews and non-Jews. Right, Rashi seems to be setting forth a theology in which the way you approach mitzvot is kimitzuveh. Right? I do it because I'm commanded, and therefore not because I'm a nice person. Right? The Rambam clearly disagrees with that, because the Rambam's entire philosophy of virtue ethics, right, is that you are supposed to end up doing mitzvot v'edonim l'chavero not because you cognizantly think about the fact that they're mitzvot, but because you've become the type of person, right, that would do nice things.
Oh, well, you require more knowledge.
No. No, because the Rambam is a virtue ethicist, not because of knowledge. The Rambam in Hilchos Deos is very clearly a virtue ethicist.
The highest form is the truth.
Okay, first of all, the Rambam. First of all, the Rambam at the end of that chapter, at the end, the last chapter, goes back and says, "No, the highest level is ethics." But
what? No.
Yes, in the last chapter.
Encyclopedia, you moron?
Yes, he does, and that's one of the biggest stiras that everyone tries to figure out in the Rambam, is how did the Rambam say the highest level is intellectual perfection, and then in the last chapter the Moran seems to have changed his mind and said it's... No, you're wrong! You don't know the last chapter of the Moran. Yes, I do know the last chapter of the Moran. Oh my God, come on. So it's not so obvious within the Rambam either, but the Rambam thinks... Right, that the point of mitzvot, ethical mitzvot, is to develop midos, and therefore, because the Rashi seems to be making a radical claim, right? Not just that you shouldn't do things you're not chayiv to do, but that your philosophy, your vantage point of mitzvot, right, your perspective on mitzvot should always be, I'm only doing this because I'm chayiv, right? The Rambam says explicitly the opposite, right? That at least mitzvot, right, sichliot, you should do them not because you're fighting against your natural inclination. Right, you shouldn't do it only because you're mitzvah. You should develop yourself to the point where you do it even though...
Oh yeah, fine. The mitzvah ones are going to perfect you more than things you are mitzvah in. And therefore...
Okay, but no, I'm saying Rashi... No.
So it works with Rashi's idea that if you're not mitzvah, if you're just doing that...
No, because...
You're doing nothing you are mitzvah in, you're doing...
No, because Rambam's whole point is that you are supposed to eventually end up doing ethical mitzvot because you are the type of person who does those mitzvot naturally. Not because it's chashuva l'kmitzvah baro. That's exactly the Rambam's point. You don't want to consistently have to relate it as a tzivui. That's literally the Rambam's point. Right?
This one, Rashi...
No, this Rashi does go against it. Rashi's point is, right? Right? You should only be doing mitzvot because of a cognizance, seemingly an active cognizance of tzivui.
I don't know
right?
what he said that. He just said that you're not commanded in this, and you're doing another thing you're not commanded in this. You are commanded.
No. You missed it. No. He says that the problem... He said, why do you not get mechila? Right? Because it shows that when you do mitzvot, you do them not because they're mitzvot, but because... What's the implication? Because you are a nice guy. Right?
Oh, fine. Then you just choose...
But the Rambam wants you to be a nice person. Right? Right? The Rambam couldn't write this. The Rambam couldn't say the reason that it's a problem to give... A lost object back to it.
No, he disagreed with the middle statements, not necessarily his main idea. They choosing a non-commanded thing.
No. I meant the beginning, right? Namely, that for the Ram, right? Yeah, Rashi seems to think. No, Rashi seems to think, right, that it is a chisaron if I like do something that is in the seemingly in the spirit of a mitzvah, but not. Right, because
that,
I'm
that's
right.
That's what he'll disagree with. The fact that you're choosing non-mitzvah, the Rambam could agree with.
I mean, the Rambam could agree...
This is still a negative. It's not for the exact same reason the Rashi does.
Meaning, he would have to comment on the Gemara anyways, right? My point is that the particular theology that Rashi develops there is very not Maimonidean, right? Meaning, the Rambam could say something else, right? The Rambam could say, look, I understand that the Torah is supposed to develop you into the type of person who gives back lost objects. But you should hold yourself back from giving it to an achri because, I don't know, he's an idolater and will use the money for his idolatrous temple, and therefore you should override, there are overrides.
Oh, because
right?
Giving but, an achri isn't as good as giving it. Even though you want to make yourself effective.
That's not the question. The question is not if it's as good. The question is the okay, let me put it differently. Rashi thinks Ellie. For the Rambam, if you find a lost object of a Jew,
yeah.
Right? According to the Rambam, ideally why should you give it back to the Jew? No. Be very careful. Ideally. Because you already have been perfected.
Yeah.
Yes. No, no. Yes. That's the Rambam, right? I mean, the Rambam is saying at the beginning, you return objects, right? Because, as the Chinuch puts it, Acharei HaPi'ulot Nimshachot
HaLevavot.
What?
Only eternal perfection gives you schar.
Right. And therefore...
So you're only doing things to help your...
But according to the Rambam, what's your end goal? Why should you... According to the Rambam, the end goal is, at any given time, why should I give back a lost object to a Jew?
That reflects something in me. That
I Correct. It reflects something about who I am.
Yeah.
According to Rashi, and therefore the Rambam specifically says that you should not do it because why? Because you're mitzvah.
Yeah, fine, but...
No,
I would say, but then,
this is the point where Rashi disagrees.
Yeah, fine.
Okay, now, Rashi uses that to explain... Right? I mean, Rashi basically says, and since, right, the Rambam tells you explicitly, by ethical mitzvot, I would ideally want you to get to the situation where you don't have to think about it. Right? You don't have to be cognizant of it, because it reflects and expresses a perfection inherent in you. Yes? We agree on the Rambam?
Yeah.
Right? Therefore, according to the Rambam, if you said, well, you shouldn't give a lost object back to a non-Jew, I'm going to guess that the Rambam would say, because he'll use it for idolatry or something, and therefore, even though maybe part of me wants to be nice to him, right, because I'm a nice person, right, there are overrides, right? It's the same way, like, you know, to use the example Paul Bloom gives, right? I want you to feel bad when you give your child a vaccine because your child is screaming, but I want you to override your natural niceness because you recognize that you care about your child in the long term, right? Right? I mean, the Rambam, presumably we have a model like that. I want you to want to be a nice guy. Sometimes being a nice guy is the wrong thing to do. Right? But he wouldn't think there's a chisaron.
Here, in case the Najib is not a nice thing.
No, but my point is that Rashi seems to say that the reason he's bothered by this is not because he's going to a non-Jew. Right?
Yeah.
Right? Right? Meaning, the Rambam presumably would say there's something negative about giving to a non-Jew. Rashi said there's... Okay, let me phrase it differently. According to the Rambam, what would justify not doing a nice thing?
There's a negative.
There's a negative. According to Rashi, why shouldn't I do the nice thing to the non-Jew?
Not committed.
Right, meaning, not because there's anything negative, but simply because I'm only supposed to do things because I'm a chuyav, and be cognizant of that, right? That is a very not Maimonidean thing to say, right? Right? Meaning, he can come to the same conclusion for a different reason. Right? That's not the point. So, coming back to our point, therefore, according to Rashi, you could say, right, if you take a very non-virtue ethic philosophy of mitzvot, right, to, you know, a very, very a simple pshat of Rashi, which many people dispute this is what Rashi means, because he says different things in different places, but you could have said maybe the reason that you need a matir to give tzedakah to non-Jews is because... Yeah, we don't like when you do things that you're not commanded to do, because then it shows that when you do it, you're doing it because you're a nice guy. We don't like nice people. We like commanded automatons, right? Like, I don't know.
What about eating, like, potatoes instead of steak? Like, you're not chayav to do that.
Yeah, but it's not a mitzvah. I mean, right, Rashi wants... Right, Rashi sounds like he wants you to do a mitzvah because you're mechuyav. Right? Okay. From this vantage point, you would conceptualize that fundamentally, what is Darkei Shalom? I would say it's something like, it doesn't express any positive value, it just, right, it's a heter, right? There's a problem, either because, I don't know, whatever, I'm not supposed to do mitzvot because I'm a nice guy, right? I'm supposed to do it because I'm a chuyav. Or in matnas chinam, in the case of tzedakah, which is a real issue, right? So I need a matir, right? Now, what would come out from the fact that it's a matir? So as we said, one possibility might be that it would be...
Only the matir exists.
Yeah, so skip for a moment to number 10. We'll come back to the Rambam in a minute. Number 10... The Rashba notes, and this may be Rashi Lashitaso, that Had the Tanya Bekobrin Mesa Goy Mesizral, Perish Rashi Zal, Lav Bekivre Yisrael, Elamis Askwanim, Mitzom Harugim Im Yisrael. Nira, Mitoch Perusha, right? Rashi says, right, if I'm dealing with burying Jews, I have to bury non Jews. So the Rashba is Medayek, Mitoch Perusha Dafka Kalmar, Im Mesa Yisrael. Right? The simplest prod is only if I'm actually burying non Jews, right? Like, I am now. In charge, I'm at a battle, or I'm at whatever, I am Hatzalah at a fire, a generic tragedy, right? And there are Jews and non-Jews hurt, so I care for everybody, right? Or, you know, God forbid people died, so, you know, they're wrapping the dead in bags, right? I wrap everybody, right? I don't say, right? Oh, that guy is Goldberg, I'll wrap him, and that guy is, Chris, I'm not going to, we don't do that.
According to this idea,
right, what's the Rashba saying? That according to Rashi, it sounds like, not only is it a matir, it's a very limited matir, right? It's, if I'm already there, right, so, like, I don't really have a choice, right, because it'll cause Eva, essentially, right, meaning... He says, "Klomar bo denu is asik im sharmesim Yisraelim daaz havile eva." Right, and Rashba says that according to Rashi, he must basically equate darkei sham with eva. Right, meaning there is no positive value, and really it should be aser. It should be aser to do anything for non-Jews because you're a mechuyev to, and therefore, there's when necessary it's an eva. Like, there's an eva like matir, but it's a very limited matir.
What do you mean by it?
Right? Meaning it's going to cause hatred. Right? If I don't do it. And therefore you're allowed to. It's not like, I don't glorify the fact that I have to do it. I just don't have a choice. Right? He says, Daz evel even mis'asik be'elu maniach ha'elu. Avol mitzon b'fnei atzman lo. D'nakad le'i. Yil lo mis'damehino v'kanen rimen avadazara. Right? He says, but if I find them by themselves, so like just quietly disappear. Right? Quietly disappear. Right? Okay? Right, that's essentially the way the Rashba understands Rashi, which is a very radical way of saying it's just a matir, and therefore the matir only applies in cases where it would actually cause animosity. If you could avoid it, avoid it. Right? But the Rashba himself disagrees. The Rashba says, V'lo mechovar. He says, I don't think it's clear. The high im mesi Yisrael diksani. Kishem Shemaskin Kaamar, Vachem Farnazin Goyim and Israel, Vachem Kulam, Vachem Furish Rishami Ghandi Garcin Hassam, Tani Irshish, Bagoy Mishal, Mamidin Gabai Goyim, the Gabi Israel, Govin Mishal Goyim, Mishal Israel, Farnazin Goyim, Vani Israel, Mavakan Holy Goyim, Holy Israel, Covered Mesa Goyim, Mesa Israel, Manachman Avle Goyim, Vavla Israel, Machnizin Dale Goyim, Dale Jamnak Shalom. He says, it just doesn't sound that way. Right? He said, look at the Rishalmi. I set up a Tztaka fund for Jews and non Jews, and I go when I visit the sick. And the sick of the Jews and the sick of the non-Jews. It's not im, it's vi, right? It's, I visit the sick Jews, I visit the sick non-Jews. I visit, right? I give tzedakah to the Jews, I give to the non-Jews. Right? He said, the simple process is not that way. He said the tosefta, there's no two ways about it. It just says, you eulogize the dead of the non-Jews for darkei shalom, right? There is no... So Rashba argues... Poke him. Thank you. Now, you could just say that the Rashba fundamentally agrees that Darkei Shalom is Eva-like. He just thinks that realistically, we have to think broadly about Eva. Right? Right? Meaning, like...
It'll still be Eva if there are no Jews there.
Yeah. Which, I don't know if that's true. Like, I don't know if it'll cause animosity if, like, I don't eulogize a non-Jew... Or I, like, don't go out of my way to go to a hospital to visit non-Jews. Like, really? That causes Eva? I find that hard to believe. It could be, right? It could be the Raj was imagining a very small town with, like, 10 people. And, like, you know everybody. And, like, if I don't You know, like seven of them are Jews and three of them are non-Jews. So like people know that I always go every day to the hospital because there's usually a Jew in the hospital. And then Pithom, one day there's only a non-Jew there, right? And I don't show up. I mean, maybe he's imagining kids like that.
Wouldn't that still be with Jews? I don't think he meant like the exact same time.
So, I mean, Rashi sounds with the same time, but I'm saying I could stretch it. I could say that the Rashba thinks that Rashi means like mamish with Jews and that he thinks that like, you know, if I have a pattern of visiting hospitals and like, accidentally, right, every time there's only non-Jews in the hospital, I, you know, find something else to do that day, right, that someone will pick up on it, but, I don't know, right, I can't prove it from the Rashba, but I, now, Mari Kurkis in 11 also goes in this direction of Rashi, and he says, V'efshar l'dakdik m'divrei Rebbe, didavka k'shabau imani Yisrael. Right, you could be medayik from the Rambam. I don't know if you can, but this is how he reads the Rambam. What?
Didn't read the Rambam.
We didn't read the Rambam. I know. I'm aware we didn't get to the Rambams yet. I
so you can be medayik in the Rambam.
I know, but I just want to present the sheet to Mari Korkis. He says avobol lekerim lo. That should be. That should probably be levadam. I'm really going to guess that lekerim.
Kind of confused.
Yeah, you know what that is. That's clearly. I think that's Levadam. See, there's this slight problem. I haven't checked in a better year, so, but my guess is this was originally Levadam. Right? You understand how quick... You see how easily Levadam can become Lekerem? I'm going to guess that's Levadam. Right? That makes a lot more sense. Right? Not if they come alone. V'chein kad Rashi zal Allah, the Kovrin may say goyim, im matzo asom harugim im haruge Yisrael. Right? I mean, Rashi sounds literally like at the same time. Like if I find dead Jews and non-Jews at the same time. Right? He really does seem to hold that way. V'haran's alkasa of de'im lav dafka, right? But he notes the Ran disagrees. V'rushalmi shanu osa below im with tosefta perikol shegidin shanu gabei tzedaka im v'gabei kovrin below im nira de'im lav dafka. And he said, therefore, I think, right? There's plenty of evidence that that's not true. V'nira dekula mils v'dakik shalom talia im adaver nira sheyesh bo eva mifarnasin. But therefore, but the Rari Kirkus, I think. What? No, so he disagrees with Rashi practically in the end, but practically, but I think, right, I mean, what I just said for the Rashba, that maybe the Rashba thinks that it's a heter, but you should still do it even when there are no non-Jews present, is what I think the Mari Kurkis says, right? Because he says, you know what, I think that, you're right, even if not if Jews aren't there, you should still do it. But it's because of Eva. And he says, it depends on whether there's Eva. He says, V'ilek Eva, and what's the Shamut Eva Farnes? And he said, look, if there's 10 people in the city and there's 7 Jews and I'm always in the hospital visiting Jews and then one day there's a non-Jew, so even though there's no Jew there, it'll cause Eva. But if there's 1 million people, right, and like, you know, I live in New York, right, there's 12 million, whatever how many people there are, so like, and I don't show up Pitaom to, I don't know, pick your, you know, St. Luke's Roosevelt in the Upper West Side and visit a floor when there's only non-Jews, no one will know the difference, right? So then you should get out of it, right? So therefore, it could be the Rashba means the same thing, right? It could be the Rashba thinks it's the het there, but he just thinks that it's, you know, realistically, sometimes you have to visit sick non-Jews, even when Jews aren't present. Lehalacha, Rav Poskim assume that against Rashi, and I just gave you the Shach, right? In number 12, it says Mashma feel below Yisrael, v'chein kaz v'bach v'chein nagu, right? Right? That's not how we understand it. Now, again, that doesn't prove that this is not just a technical heter. It just means that we understand that even Eva, right, is more expansive than, you know, standing there with your shotgun with a non-Jew tries to come to your kerem. Okay, there is, however, a Meseiche within the Soloveitchik family. That the Rambam didn't buy this whole thing, right? The Rambam didn't buy that Darkei Shalom was equivalent to Mipnei Eva. And they get this from a series of Rambams. So let's read through the Rambams and let's see if you're convinced by the various versions of the Brisker Diuk. Shimon, you ready for the Rambams?
Yeah.
Take your spoon!
The Rambam says, let's read them. I put three Rambams. The Rambam says in Zayin, Mefarnesin u'mechasin ani akum imani Yisrael m'nei darkei shalom. Right, we support the non-Jews with the Jewish poor people. V'ani u'mechazer al psachim in iskakin l'matan r'ruba v'nozlam v'natunim u'etes. And if a poor person comes to your door, you don't have to give him a lot, but you do have to give him something. Right, and you can never turn away a poor person with nothing. That's just a general rule. Okay, from this Rambam,
you don't get anything.
It's just
it's a quote.
I don't get anything from this. I don't get anything from it. Okay, but the next Rambam is the key. The Rambam in Melachim says as follows: Near Yireli, Shinoagin Emgeri Toshev V'Derech Eretz Gmilas Chasadim Ki Yisrael. It seems to me that we treat Geri Toshev with the same Gmilas Chasadim that we do a Jew. Because it says the Ger is that you have to, right? You have to give, he'll eat. Right? And that limitation that we have on doubling shalom, right, saying shalom, shalom, that's only for an Oved Avodah Zarah, not a Ger Toshav. And then he transitions into Darkei Shalom.
Yeah.
And he says, and afilu ha'akum, right, even an actual idolater, sivu chachamin levaker choleyem. Chazal said, visit, they're sick. Uvilek for meseim and meseh Yisrael. Ufar ha'zeneh mechal ni Yisrael, mevnei Darkei Shalom. And then he does something very surprising. What does he do? He quotes Pesukim. Hare ne'emar tov Hashem lakol, v'racham avakol ma'asav, v'ne'emar derachay adarchay no'am, v'chol nasiv osea, shalom. Right? So the Salvechik, Varon Salvechik, and the Rav, and as we'll see, Rav Tzvi Hoffman before them, right, all said, wait a second. Right? The Rambam seems to, if you read him carefully, says that Darkei Shalom, why is it called Darkei Shalom? No, look at the words. What pasuk? The Rambam was careful. What pasuk? And what's the second one? Shalom, right? Meaning, right? Shalom. It's look at the Rambam's pasuk. What are the key words that the Rambam is focusing on the second pasuk? Yes. I mean, the Rambam thinks that this is not a random phrase that's equivalent to Eva. It's a way of saying this is the Derech HaTorah, right? Derechea Darchinom, V'chol Nevasozeh Shalom, right? I think that's pretty clear. The Rambam thinks where the phrase comes from. And then he says, Tov Hashem Lakol, right? And what is important about that pasuk? Because what does the Rambam use that pasuk to prove elsewhere in the Yad?
That you should be nice to your slave.
Because
it's a nice. Because
Hashem is nice to everything.
Yes, the Rambam has a mitzvah.
Oh, to follow in his ways.
Called v'halach lebidrachav. The Rambam has a formal mitzvah called in Latin imitatio Dei, right? Imitating the deity, right? Or in Hebrew we call it v'halach lebidrachav, which is a mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Rambam, in the Sefer Mitzvahs and in Mishneh Torah, right? The Rambam tells you explicitly in Hilchos Deos, correct, that why are we Balei Chesed?
Because
of Mitatio Dei. In Hilchos Avel, the 14th Perek, he says, in addition, it's because of Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha. Right? But part of the Chiyuv is because... It's because God is, right? Is described as Baal Chesed, and therefore we have to imitate Him. Right? And therefore, several Achronim, many of, as I said, of the Soloveitchik family, said, wait a second, the Rambam doesn't seem to think that Darkei Shalom is equivalent to Eva. He thinks that Darkei Shalom is equivalent with V'halachta Bidrachav. Right? With imitatio Dei, with imitating God, meaning it's a positive value, right? And then they point of being nice, right? That you're supposed to be nice, even to non-Jews, right? Yeah, being kind, right? That being kind to all human beings is a good thing. Yay! Nice people. We like nice, right? Like, I don't understand, okay? So look at 9. Right? They further point to number 9. Guys, further point to the Rambam in Hilchos Avodim, where the Rambam says, Mutter lavod be'eved kenani befarech. Right? You are allowed to work a non-Jewish slave. Right. V'afol pisha din kach. But he says, even though it's mutter, midos chasidus v'darkei chochma, it is the righteous and wise, the way of the wise, to not do that. She adam rachamon. Right, it is that a person should be merciful, v'rodif tzedek, and chase righteousness, or justice. V'lo yachbudu lo, lachbidu lo al avdo, and don't make the load on your slave's back unbearable or heavy. V'lo yetzer lo v'achileu v'ashkeu b'chol machol mikol mishteh. Right, don't cause him pain, rather give him food and drink of all types. And the original Chachamim used to give their slaves
they're on food.
Whatever they were eating. And they would give food to their animals and their servants before them. Hareyu Omer, why? Because God, right, we describe our relationship with God as our eyes are to God the way a servant is to his master. And therefore we want to treat servants in the way
we want to be treated.
Right? V'chein lo yivazuhu biyad v'lo bidvarim la'avdod v'dud mesar nakatzav lo lebusha. He said, don't degrade him with your hand, with your words, right? Because he was given over to slavery, but not for humiliation, not for degradation. V'lo yarba lav tzaka v'kas, right? Tzaka v'kas, don't yell at him, don't be angry at him. Speak nicely, listen to what he has to say. Right, and this is what Eov was praised for, right, that he didn't treat his servants badly. And cruelty is only found amongst the idolaters. Avolzaro shall Avram Avinu v'heim Yisrael for the children of the Jews, right? Jews, Avram Avinu's children. Sheishpiel haMakadosh Baruch Hu Tovas haTorah, for who God has given the governor of the Torah. V'tzivos haMechukim Mishpatim Tzadikim Rachmanim heim al hakol. Right, that God has given them the Torah. They are merciful because the Rambam's a virtue ethicist, right? You're supposed, the Torah is supposed to make you merciful. V'chein b'midosav shal kodesh baruch hu shetzivanu l'hidamos b'hem. And he says it is also a fulfillment of imitati of day, of v'alach l'vidrachov, because we're obligated to imitate God. And now he quotes the same pasuk that he did in Paraget, Yud, halacha yud bet, melachim. V'omer barachim avu kol ma'asav v'kol marachim, rachmin olav, sh'nevin osan lecha rachamim v'richamecha v'irbecha. Right? And therefore, Aaron Soloveitchik writes in his Ode Yosef Bini, Ode Bini Yosef Yitzchak Chai, or something like that. It was he lost a grandson. He wrote a sefer in his memory, and in that, Perish on the Rambam, or maybe it's in Petach Mari Aaron, and I think it's the other one. I think it's in Ode, whatever. It's one of them. What? No. It's like a pun on that. Right, because it was his grandson was Yosef Yitzchak, or something. He's like, "Oh, Yosef Yitzchak Ben Yich." I was like, "No, it was written for his grandson,
yeah.
Not the pasuk." I'm saying name of the sefer.
Yeah.
It's a very hard sefer to find.
Oh yeah, it is.
No, it's not. It's Ode. It's Ode Ben Yich, whatever it is exactly. Okay, and therefore, there were many thinkers who said no. Right? Why are we nice to non-Jews? Right? Why do we give them tzedakah and visit their sick and bury their dead?
It's a good thing to do.
Yeah, because the Torah. Right. V'halach v'drachav. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Right? And Darkei Shalom doesn't mean the same as Eva. It means it is a kiyum of Darkei HaTorah, who's derachei ar dachei noam v'chol yisrael shalom. Right? That's what it means to be Torah observant. Now, the Chassam Sofer, in number 13, adds something to this that would work well with this. Right? And he says, why is it, right? I mean, if this is the case, you'd ask me, then why is it formulated, why did it sound like a heter? Right? Ein mamachin. Right? Like, if the Torah wants you to be kind, and there's no limitation on Jew, non-Jew, then why formulate it like we don't stop them?
One should be before the other.
Right, why don't you just say, like, right, I mean...
Yeah, like what? Well, like, it didn't just say don't stop.
What?
It didn't just say don't stop. And that was one of like five.
So on Ein Mamachin it does, right? And then at Staka, his argument is, look, basically the ethos of it is still don't stop them, it's just there's no such thing, right? Like, don't not stop them, it means give them. But, right, his point is that, like, Leket, you could have just said, we let them take it. Right? Why formulate it in the negative? I understand why practically by tzedakah you can't say, I don't prevent them from giving tzedakah. but why not say that, like, why not put a positive spin on the language, right? Say, invite in the Akum to take produce like you do Jews or something, right? So he gives a very technical answer, right? Which is, there's a good reason why you might have thought that you should stop them. And it has nothing to do with us not wanting to be nice to non-Jews. It has to do with
the Jews not getting us.
Yes. That tzedaka, there are limited resources. Right? Leket shechan peah, there are limited resources. You might have thought that you stop them, not because we don't want to give them, we don't want to help them, but because im kvar, there's limited resources, so I gave you in 14. Right? By tzedaka specifically, we have a hierarchy of resources, right? Not just Jews, non-Jews, but, right?
Jews, poor, rich.
Right? Right, yeah. Im kesef talveh ami, erani imach, ami v'nachri, ami kodem. Right? Jew, non-Jew, give the Jew first, which, by the way, implies, like, the Rav and Ravarn Soloveitchik, right? Which is that the Torah is telling you, or the way Chazal are understanding the Torah is, the mitzvah of tzedakah applies to non-Jews, just Jews first. Right? I mean, that's what it sounds like. Right? Right? That's the simple read of the Gemara.
Yeah.
Right? Ani v'ashir, ani kodem, ani yechav, ani yircha, ani yecha kodmin, ani yircha, ani yercheres, ani yircha kodmin. Right? Your family first, your city first, etc.
Does it not sound like that from all the other Gemaras besides this one?
Well, yes, but in this Gemara. Yeah. In this Gemara, it does sound like that. Correct, and we'll come back to that. But you just read this Gemara, right? It sounds like, right? You know, it almost sounds like they're really in the midst of tzedakah. They're just not primary, right? Now, according to Chassam Sofer, therefore, one would say, look, the reason that I don't give, that I need a het there, so to speak, to give them tzedakah is not because
there's no chiyuv.
It's just I might have thought that I, and therefore, what is the Chassam Sofer's point? The Chassam Sofer says that's why there is no equivalent for bikur cholim. Right, meaning there was no havamina that you shouldn't be mavakar choleim because there's unlimited resources in that regard. So I'll go and visit 10 sick people. Right, big deal. Right, there was only even a havamina that I shouldn't give to non-Jews when it takes away from other resources. And the chiddush is because of Darkei Shalom, I give them even at the expense of other people. Right, I remember there when I was in 10th grade, Rambam story for my Rambam boys, right? When I was in 10th grade, it was, are you guys too young to remember the tsunami? Like the big tsunami in Sri Lanka?
Yes, I am. I've heard of it.
Yeah, it's
like 2011.
We were like, what?
I don't it was 2000. No, no, no. It was 2005 or 2004.
Oh, yeah.
Like the big one.
Oh.
Sri Lanka. What?
In Indonesia?
In Sri Lanka.
Oh, yeah, we don't remember that.
Anyways, there was a big tsunami, and it was 2004, 2005, something like that.
You guys have a sock drive, can't drive.
So Rambam Kedarkam Bakodesh, we raised whatever it was like $5,000 or something for it, and Kederek Rambam, we Zoli Honig and Ariel Lindenfeld, if you know them, right? You know. Okay, fine. Along with the Rav Friedman, arranged with the money was given not by Rambam directly, but they went and they brought it with the Israeli ambassador to the UN, who gave it to the Sri Lankan ambassador. Right, this is very Rambam. But after this, right, he got in the newspapers. Okay, fine, always happens. And then somebody wrote a article against Rav Friedman in the Five Towns Jewish Star, whatever it's called.
Non-Jews?
What? Why are you helping non-Jews? There's so many Jewish funds, blah, blah, blah. And Rav Friedman...
Published this?
Yes.
That's crazy.
And Rav... No, so, but they like Rav Friedman enough that they showed it to him first. It was published as point, counterpoint. Right? And what?
Israel just went to help them. A collapse that just happened.
Yes, they do that all the time. And Rav Friedman wrote an article and said, what is wrong with you people? Right? He said, first of all, it's a Gemara, right, in front of Sinai Akum. Second of all, there's a value to it, of Alach L'Vdrachav, right? Third of all, your argument that that's very nice, but we should help the Jews first, he's like, no, the pasuk tells you that there will always be Jewish poor people. It is a pasuk, right? And yet the Gemara says that you support non-Jews when necessary. It's just a question of primacy. It's not a question of exclusivity, right? You can't read this Gemara as I spend money on my family first, and if I haven't run out of money, then I go to the people in my city, and if I haven't run out of money, I can give other people, right? It means that, like, my general approach to tzedakah is that I give to my inner concentric circles and then my outer concentric circles. But if there is a particular event that happens that requires tzedakah, right, you are supposed to respond to it. That's what it means to, right? When the Rambam says, Rahamav kol masa, right, you're supposed to feel sympathy, right, and react, right? It means that if something really happens, Rav Friedman's like, it's not like Rambam, this is the only thing we do. We do plenty of things, right? We raise money else other times. We do all types of things, right? There was a particular catastrophe, right? So we raised money, and it's a good thing. What are you, right? What are you being reductionist about this, right? And this is published, like, I still remember, this is fun, right? But Rav Friedman is very adamant about this because Ron Salvechik, as we know, was the posting of the school. Okay. It happened. The murder happened like in my 12th grade. When Rambam merged with Hafter. It was 2006. The end of 2006.
What merger with Hafter?
They created the Machon HaTorah.
There was 1 year.
No, it was like 3 years. Yeah.
3 years when Rambam and Hafter were one high school.
Yeah.
Well, no, they were under one administration.
Yeah. Rabbi Eliach. And
they were still
too rough. Yeah. Anyways, not important. Not important. Okay, guys, so let's just continue here. Now, we don't have so much time, so let me just tell you what. Guys, let me tell you what I want you to do. Okay, Rav Asher Weiss in 15, read tomorrow. Rav Asher Weiss, I don't know what's so funny, it's not so long. See, Rav Asher. You'll see, Rav Asher is going to raise this possibility that I've just told you from Ron Salvechik. He's going to not agree with it. He's going to provide his reasons for it. And then he's going to try to explain, okay, well, if Ron Salvechik and the Rav are not right, then what exactly is the difference between when Chazal say Eva and when they say Darkei Shalom? Because they're still not identical, right? What is the difference? Okay. We're going to look at some of these shitos inside on Darkei Shalom that actually developed this. Like, what exactly does it mean, and what does it tell us about our relationship with non-Jews, right? Before we do that, I just want to read you one Yerushalmi. I should have put it on the sheet. If you go back for a moment to that Rashi, remember Rashi who said, like, don't give them, don't give non-Jews their lost items back, right? So halacha lemaisa, what we say, what the poskim always say, is that unless there's a kiddush Hashem, if there's a kiddush Hashem involved, then you should, right? Now, many people read that in very Rashi-like terminology, which is, look, really, we shouldn't do it, right? But if it's going to cause us a kiddush Hashem, so then you should do it. But it doesn't tell us that, like, it's the, like, treating the non-Jews nicely is the right thing to do. It's just like, it's a way of accomplishing a Kiddush Hashem. But if you look at the Yerushalmi seems to take a very different approach to this, which goes more in the direction similar to, like, what? Yeah, the notion that, no, like, maybe when we say, unless there's a Kiddush Hashem, that's not like a matir, right, that's actually expressing a value. So this is a often quoted Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says as follows: Shimon ben Shadach have asik b'hadei kitna. Amrin le Talmudei Rebbe arpe minach vanan zavnin lo chada chamar. So Shimon ben Shadach was involved in business, and he schlepped it around. So his Talmidim said, this is like pasnish. What are you schlepping around? Can we buy you a donkey? Okay, so he says, fine, buy a donkey. So he buys this. They buy this donkey. Zavnun lechad achamar michad sirkoi v'tol lechad imarguloi. Asi Ligabe Amrin Lane Min Kidon Lis at Sare Loi Tuvin. So again, I'm gonna skip down a few lines here. So what happens? They buy this donkey, and there's a precious stone on the donkey. Right? And they say, oh, you're rich, you don't have to work a day again in your life. And he says, Amar Leilun Izil Chazar. He said, go give it back. Amar. So then they say, Lochein Amar Rav, Chuna Bibi, Bargozlon Bishem Rav, Hateven Kumi Rebbe, Afilu Kamandam Rigzelu Shogoy Asr, Kol Amma Mode Shavedasa Muteres. What are you telling us? Doesn't everybody agree that even though you can't steal from non-Jews, you don't have to return their lost objects, right? Finders, keepers. Why are you telling us to give it back? Ma atun safrin. What are you thinking? So what did he say? Then he turns to them, right? Not they say to him, what do you think? He turns to them and he says, Ma atun safrin, what are you thinking? Shimon ben Shetach Barbaron have I? Right? Right, Abai? Do you think I'm a barbarian? Right? Do you think am I a barbarian? Right? Am I gonna call that in Alma? He said, I'd rather the guy say, blessed is the God of Shimon ben Shatach. Right? Now, in the Yerushalmi, which does it sound like? Is he returning it simply because, oh, it's like a technical, right, technicality? Like, oh, I can be Mekayim Kiddush Hashem? I mean, I don't think so, right? Meaning, the phrase, what are you thinking, am I a barbarian, right, doesn't read very well with a Rashi-like philosophy. It works better with a Rambam-like philosophy, which is, no, the Torah are meant to develop a certain sensitivity, and you're right, I'm not chayav, but it's the right thing to do, right? And I'd rather him look at me and say, oh, that's what it means to be godly, right?
Yeah, it's not hard to explain this for Rashi.
What? Yes, but that's my question. What is Kiddush Hashem? Sometimes you hear people say, like, Kiddush Hashem is like, oh, they'll... Right? Some people present it as if, like, really, I shouldn't give it back to them. But, it's good PR. Right? Right?
Yeah, it seems like...
No! When someone says, is why should I do this? Am I a barbarian? I'd rather him say, brich elahedio doi. Meaning, let me put it differently. What do you think a Kiddush Hashem is? Do you think a Kiddush Hashem is a false PR stunt? Right? That's what some people think. If he had just said, I want a Kiddush Hashem, I want him to praise me, maybe. But you don't preface that with, I'm a barbarian. Am I a barbarian? Right? When he says, am I a barbarian, right? Right? V'chi barbaron, right? It's from the same word, right? I mean, it is the same word, right? It's Greek or whatever it is, right? Or Latin, I don't know. And he says, am I a barbarian? I'd rather him say, brich elahedi yudain. It's not, or brich elahedi yudain. He's not saying Kiddush Hashem is a PR stunt. It's a Kiddush Hashem the way the end of Yoma says, which is that a Talmud Chacham should act in such a way that people naturally say, oh, I want to be like him because his lifestyle shows that the God he believes in is true. Right? So the Yerushalmi seems to go very Rambam-like, which is, Enochanami! Right? When it says that you can get a Kiddush Hashem at it, that's not like, it's really usur, but I can fake out the non-Jews and make them think I care about them, and then it'll be all over the news, right? That's not what it is. It's, Jews are really supposed to be nice people, right? You're really supposed to do the right thing, right? Even when you're not obligated to. Okay, so, like I said, tomorrow I want you to look, you don't have to read it so in-depth, through Rasher Weiss, okay? But Rasher Weiss will explain to you why he doesn't believe in this, because he does entertain it. He does say, maybe this is true, but I don't like it. Right? Reb David Zvi Hoffman, I gave you in 16, explains how he understands Darkei Shalom. Then I gave you of Aaron Soloveitchik, who, not on this piece, because it's very hard to find the actual piece on this, but in a different article called Jew and Jew, Jew and Non-Jew, which is on how Rav Aaron Soloveitchik thinks you should relate to non-Jews. Meaning, what is the philosophy the Torah wants you to get out of it? And if you have time, there's about 20 pages in the Halachic Morality book where the Rav seems to take a very specific approach on this. Because the question I want you to think about is the following. But if you have to, well, I want you to think about this question, whether or not you read the Rav inside, but I want you to think about it as you go through, okay? Is, even if you accept this read of the Rambam, there's still two very different ways you could take this approach, right? One is to say, that the Iker mitzvah of tzedakah is for Jews. But there's like a secondary thing that the Torah also wants you to be nice. Right?
Or is it every mitzvah is built into
Darkland Dalam? No, I mean, that's a bit drashy. That's not what I mean. But let me put it differently. Which is the primary reason you give tzedakah? Right? When, let's say to a Jew. When you give money to a Jew, is it fundamentally, is it primary? It's clearly both. Right? The Rambam is very explicit. It's both a chiyuv of tzedakah, the technical mitzvah, and it's a chiyuv of ahavta l'reicha kamocha, and it's a chiyuv of v'halacha l'drachav. Right? Meaning it's multiple chiyuvim all in one.
Yeah.
Which is primary? Ah, that's what you would think. But the Rav says the opposite. Right? The Rav says the opposite. And that's what I want to develop, is that, right, the way I always heard of Aaron Soloveitchik, and again, I haven't gone back to it to check since then because it's very hard to find, was basically that way, right? Like, Jews is the primary mitzvah of tzedakah, but there's also Balach Lebedrachav, right, which means that I should give to non-Jews.
What does primary mean? Like, impacts you the most?
No, like, primary. Like, when I'm doing tzedakah, what is, like, philosophically primary, like what is the main reason that I do this? Is it because of tzedakah, or is it because of halach v'drachav?
What's the main reason you would ever be supposed to be impact on this? Do you mean impact me the most, or just come around?
And so I don't know if it's impact on you, or I'll put it differently. Halach v'drachav, right, I mean, maybe it's about impact to you, or another way of putting it is, v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha is about developing love towards the other person. Tzedakah is about filling, let's say, is about providing for his needs, right? Which is primary. When I give someone tzedakah, am I primarily doing it because I need to fulfill his needs, right? You know, like the local tzedakah? Or really, it's an expression of a larger value, right, of v'ahavta l'reicha kamocha, of becoming a good person, of halachta b'drachav, of all those things that impact you. And then tzedakah has an added element, right, that this particular chesed expresses itself in a monetary way. But you understand, the impact the impact lumdishly or philosophically on how I relate to non-Jews is quite powerful. Right? If you say that the primary mitzvah of tzedakah is tzedakah, but it's also a secondary kiyum of v'halach l'bedrachav, so then what you're saying is that even if the Rambam meant what Rav Aaron Soloveitchik and the Rav said he meant, then that means that the primary mitzvah of tzedakah is to Jews, and non-Jews, I have a secondary chiyuv. But if you take it the opposite way, right, then it might be no. Like, the more overarching value in Torah is what makes me give to all people equally. And then the fact that tzedakah applies to Jews over non-Jews is really almost an afterthought, right? Which is what the Rav thinks.
The most important. I don't know.
Yes, I know.
More than all the others.
Oh, good. Yeah, yes, exactly. Which would indicate, right? Meaning, I think the Rav is right in this analysis, but I want to spell it out tomorrow, right? I want to flesh it out tomorrow, unless you want to flesh it out now, right? I mean, we can flesh it out now. It really depends on the Shana Bet guys whether you want to do Kutchim, because, you know. Because I can't do it on Tuesdays, because I switched slots. We can find another time. If you want, we can try to spell this out a little bit now. Do you want to do it now? Okay, we can do it a little bit now. I don't care. Right? We can do a little bit of longer shiur, whatever you want. I won't do Rav Asher Weiss now. Tomorrow I want to do Rav Asher Weiss and see, because he is a very careful attempt at saying, okay, let's say I don't accept this, then what is the difference between Eva and Darkei Shalom? So let me just start this off, okay? Let me try it this way. Okay, Ellie. So let me try to... What I understand from the Rav, let me translate the way I understand the Rav, okay? So, like I said, the way I had always heard it, or at least the way I understood it, though it could be wrong, because admittedly I heard this first from I got it first from Ry Freeman, like an op-ed in 10th grade when I was not thinking too in-depth about this, was that, yeah, the primary, what the way they were saying is, look, the primary mitzvah of tzedakah is to Jews, but secondarily, right, like, you know, it's a good thing to be nice.
The primary mitzvah of tzedakah is about it.
Correct.
Stop.
But the Rav has this piece in this, you know, now it wasn't like a chisaron that, like, I didn't know this in 10th grade. It was published like 2 years ago, a year ago even. It was published, right?
2018.
2017. Whatever. Not when I was in 10th grade. It was when I was in Toronto. Now, the Rav has this interesting argument, and this is his explanation of Avadim Tezches, right? Like the Rambam that this is based on, right? So the Rav argues that really, the Iker Mitzvah is V'halachta B'drachav, right? V'halachta B'drachav is all Chesed related mitzvahs are primarily universal, right? As he writes, the idea of Chesed embraces the entire world and erases borders between nations. We are obligated to love man per se, even if we have no spiritual closeness to him, even if he lives his life beyond distant horizons, ways that are foreign to us, even if our thoughts are not his thoughts and our ways are not his ways, even if we are separated by differences of culture, religion, language, and race, even if immeasurable geographic distance lies between us, he remains within the compass of our Chesed, which takes account not of the content of a person's consciousness, but only of the fact of his existence. All people from anywhere in the world are creatures bearing the image of God. The sounds of the song of the metaphysical existence resound in all of them. In all their faces, the divinity within the world is manifest. Their roots, as my roots, are in God, and it follows that we are united in our eschatological destiny, though not our historical destiny, to be encountered when the world is filled with understanding as waters fill the ocean.
None of us have any idea what's going on.
What are you talking about? It's so clear.
Yeah.
Right?
It's pretty clear.
It's pretty clear. Yeah. Right?
No.
Fine, I'm going to skip down. I'm going to skip down to a sentence that doesn't have the word eschatological.
I don't know.
Okay? That's messianic.
It's
messianic. Anyways, okay, listen. Then he says, accordingly, we are duty bound to love them, including those who are. Listen, guys. Accordingly, we are duty bound to love them, including those who are strange to me and despicable to my spirit and state of mind. From the point of view of Chesed, all racial, cultural, historical, and moral differences are null and void. There exists a transcendent metaphysical unity. We are not commanded specifically with respect to Chesed, for such a command would have been self-contradictory. Right? This is Raymaimonidean, right? It is impossible to receive a commandment to do Chesed when his essence is the absence of moral necessity. The commandment is worded in an entirely different fashion. You shall walk in his ways. And just as he does chesed, so shall you do chesed. In other words, the imperative refers to imitatio Dei. We are not obligated to do chesed. Our obligation focuses on the imitation of God, one of whose attributes is chesed. The essence of the commandment is to be a pure and holy personality who thirsts for God. The obligating factor is the abundance of chesed that overflows from the Creator to His creation, His bestowal of chesed on all His creatures. This gift is not dedicated to the chosen people, for creation itself is an act of chesed, as the psalmist says, the world is built on chesed. It represents the bestowal of infinite, unconditional, and eternal existence on a world that is finite, conditional, and transitory. And that is so, then the chesed bestowed on man likewise applies to the human species overall and is not tied to any independent and exalted group. Indeed, it extends to everything that lives. Right? The Rav is pretty clear that the Iker Mitzvah, even in Staka, is the generic Valach the Vidrachov.
Well, yeah, no, fine, but can you just say very simply, when you get stuck into a Jew, it's the Valach the Vidrachov.
So the Rav doesn't. You could have, but the Rav doesn't. Right? The Rav says, so then what is Staka? So he thinks that, he notes, that the Gemara already says that there are three ways in which Gemilas Chasadim is greater than Staka. Right, like the generic one. Tzedakah involves only one's money. Gemilas Chasadim involves one person, one's person as well as one's money. Tzedakah is performed only for the poor. Gemilas Chasadim is performed for poor and rich alike. Tzedakah is performed only for the living. Gemilas Chasadim is performed for the living and the dead alike. Right, it's Gemara in Sukkah. Right, so the Rav says Chesed is more encompassing than Tzedakah. Right, meaning, and Chesed is greater. Meaning, the more universal aspect of Chesed is more important. It's a kiyum of halacha v'drachav, right? So what is staka? And why is it that within staka we find primacy for the Jewish people? So here, the Rav argues that... one second. is that stucca is an external performance encompassing both concrete aid and spiritual encouragement that need not draw on a source of fraternal sensitivity. It requires no inward content. The form alone suffices. Even when a person is liable to be punished for his hard-heartedness, when we come to him with a demand for gentle sympathy for the suffering of forlorn outcast, this demand does not refer to love, but to egotistical awareness of brotherhood rooted in the fear of the isolated individual. Right? So he said stucca, meaning the notion that that charity should be expressed through money, he says, is purely, it's monetary. And what generates the monetary obligation to provide for others. So his argument is, common fate, right? The consciousness of brotherhood vis-a-vis tzedakah is shaped by two factors. First, there's the sense of common fate. The individual is aware of a commonality of fate that he shares with all the members of his people, and he knows that there's no escape from this paradoxical fatefulness, etc. And second is the sense of mutual assistance, and he goes on. Right, the Rav basically develops the following philosophical / halachic argument, right, which is that staka, meaning the chesed expresses itself in money, which, if we go back to Chasam Sofer, means there are limited resources, right, that has limitations on it by definition. We only have X amount of money, right? I can smile at everybody, but I only have X amount of money. He says the chesed expresses itself in money has to be limited because since I have limited resources, I need to. I only give it to certain people. And who am I going to give it to? So he says, logically, it's the people who are going to... So no, it's the people who are going to take care of me. Right? Think about what he's saying. He's saying, right, because, right, the way to best deal with resources is to give to the people that, were you in trouble, you would expect to provide for you. Right? Right? And that's ani er chakodmin. Ani am chakodmin. Right? So the Rav argues that... Really, the value behind giving staka to non-Jews is chesed. And that's really the primary reason that we do any interpersonal thing, which is v'alachta b'drachav. It's godly. And therefore, what the Rav is really saying is that our relationship to non-Jews is actually the more important one. It's the one that we share with all of humanity. No, that's what he says. No, more important.
The non-Jews are the same.
No. Meaning the it's no. It's an expression. Meaning the value that makes me give tzedakah to non-Jews is the more important value that makes me be kind to all people, right? Namely, v'halachta b'drachav. The fact that when I have limited resources, I give primacy to Jews is a technicality, which is that tzedakah, which by definition relies.
You don't lose the importance when you give to Jews.
No. That's not what I'm saying. No, what I'm saying is that at the deep core of chesed, giving to Jews and non-Jews for the Rav is equivalent.
Yeah.
They're both v'alachta b'drachav equally, and that's more important. The Rav says tzedakah isn't, it's not like the way it's presented originally, that for Jews I have tzedakah and for non-Jews I only have v'alachta b'drachav. Right? It's the opposite. It's for all people I have v'alachta b'drachav. But because tzedakah is monetary and there are limited resources, I have to prioritize the people who I share my fate with, right? And therefore, the Rav argues that staka is almost pragmatic, while v'alach v'drachav is theological. But the irony of his approach, or not the irony, right? And this is, what I'm saying, lumdishly, it's actually very nice, but philosophically, it tells you a lot about the way the Rav viewed relationship with non-Jews. And that's why I said, the lumdus of the sugya really lends itself to philosophy, where the Rav says, no, my relationship with non-Jews, meaning the obligation to take care of non-Jews, is philosophically equivalent to my obligation to Jews. The fact that I give primacy practically to Jews and give them staka before non-Jews is not because I value them less, but because we happen to share fate, and therefore we provide resources for each other because we share a practical destiny, right? A practical fate. But again, it's we have to be careful in terms of framing, right? It's not that giving tzedakah to Jews for the Rav, that's like the ideal, and then giving to non-Jews is like a secondary kiyum. He's saying, no, the fact that I have a relationship that in an ideal world would express itself in tzedakah to Jews and non-Jews is the ideal. It's practical concerns that tell me that I give to Jews before that. But in terms of the relationship I have with non-Jews, the Rav actually thinks that's the one that's core to... Or let me phrase it differently. The fact that I give tzedakah to non-Jews is more central to my identity than the fact that I will still give to Jews before I give to non-Jews. Right? You understand that? Right? Meaning, one way of saying this is, I give tzedakah to Jews because they're my brothers, right? And I also give to non-Jews because they're human beings, but they're not my brothers. Right? That would be saying, I have a value of my relationship with non-Jews, but it's not as important as my relationship with Jews. Right? The Rav says the opposite, which is, I give tzedakah to all people because I want to be godly. And I happen to give more tzedakah to Jews because I know they'll take care of me also. Right? But the primary relationship with other human beings, according to Rav, even Jews, is not that they're Jews. Right? My primary relationship is as human beings created B'Tselem Elokim, who I owe V'alach L'Drachav to. Right? My secondary obligation, which practically limits me, is tzedakah, right? Which is a radical reshifting, right? A radical shift in terms of which is primary. Okay? So tomorrow, like I said, I want you to understand Rav Asher Weiss, and then we'll come back and flesh out the philosophical issues, but you see why I wanted to do this sort of philosophy derech lamdos, right? Because to just say this philosophically is one thing, but to understand how this emerges from the sugya, and the way the Rav understands the sugya, right, shows you, right? Yeah, meaning it does. The philosophy comes out of lamdos, right? It's not, I mean, this was cast as providing the hashkafa. I'm not denying that, right? There is, but I want it to emerge organically from the sugya. Tomorrow, you'll see a little bit of lamdos of Rasha Weiss, and we'll do a little bit more of the philosophy in Rav David Zvi Hoffman and Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, okay?